الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Alhamdulillah, we've now come upon another day of Ramadan. But subhanAllah, this one happens to be Friday as well. So it's a time of great blessing, particularly in this time between the beginning of Asr all the way until Maghrib. And so this is a very opportune time for us, particularly on Friday. Of course, as we keep highlighting, these days just go by very quickly. They were already limited to begin with. And now we're left with we're talking about moments. Only Allah knows. Tomorrow may be Eid, but it's unlikely, but it still may be tomorrow. But even if it's on Sunday, we're talking about hours. Very, very quickly, we'll be back to this meeting on Saturday, and then that will be our final concluding meeting for the month of Ramadan. And of course, Ramadan will then conclude upon us. It's only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've been able to partake of His blessings in this month. Every single benefit that we take is more than what we deserve. Every single benefit that we take is more than we deserve. Even just one moment, the opportunity to engage Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one moment is beyond anything that we deserve. Because Allah is perfect. Allah has no need for His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's manifestations are infinite. So for us to just get the opportunity once in our whole lives to just say the name Allah, or to reflect on Allah's name, or to be able to engage His signs. I mean, who are we to have that opportunity to be able to interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, you think about the famous people on the planet, they're never going to give us time. When am I ever going to get to interact with the president of a country? I mean, these people are too important, I'm too low. Why would they give me an opportunity to even shake their hand, let alone engage them? And they are just people like me. And they also will come and go just like me. And they also need to sleep just like me. They also need to eat just like me. They're also limited in their abilities just like me. Yet they won't make the time for me because they're above me. Now, take that and multiply that example by infinity, and you get to the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beginning, He's the end, He's the first, He's the last. He created the entire universe. Can one imagine the power that must lie in His hand to have created the entire universe without any effort? And subhanAllah, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands the universe. He's the Rabb of the universe. He causes the constant movement of everything. He knows where everything is at any moment. He sees everything, even if it's not to be seen. He hears everything, even if there's nothing to hear. He knows everything. SubhanAllah, at any given moment, He has such control that He knows where every single atom is in the entire universe at every moment. And as those atoms shift and move and change from form, He knows where every single one is at any given point in time. SubhanAllah. And we get to engage with that Allah. Honestly, if we had to wait in line for our whole lives to be able to say one Allah, just to say the word Allah one time, it would be worth it. It would be worth it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead gives us the opportunity to say His name over and over again, to say Allahu Akbar in salah, to be able to recite words which he revealed, to be able to praise him in a way that he taught us to praise him, to be able to follow his messenger, to be able to fast and to have him even care that we fast, and to have him even consider accepting our fast, and to be able to provide a reward for us. The bargain is totally unfair. It's totally lopsided. It's totally lopsided. We have way more than we ever deserve. We have way, 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 way more than we ever deserve. We did not deserve one moment in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He, out of His infinite grace, out of His magnificence, out of His forgiveness, out of His mercy, out of His blessings, His desire to be forgiving and pardoning, and His love for creation, He gives us the opportunity to engage Him when there's no line. At any time anyone desires, at their own choosing, not at Allah's, Allah doesn't create any condition, at their own choosing, they can engage their Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for people. Why should Allah wait for anyone? You think that the president of any country is going to wait for me if I'm late? You think the president of any country is going to wait for me if I don't show up? He's going to ask where I was if I don't show up? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He waits for us. He waits for us to figure out that it's time to come and turn to Him. Subhanallah. He accepts us even if we come late. He accepts us even if we haven't shown up for days on end, for years, for decades. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to accept us. The bargain is totally tilted. It's totally lopsided. This is the mercy of Allah, that He gives us the opportunity to be able to engage Him at our own convenience, at the time that we decide it's relevant for us, and He doesn't turn us away. Honestly, we should even be turned away. We're so attentive to so many things that are completely worthless. We're so caught up in material things and things that don't matter. We're so caught up in ourselves and what we think is important. And it takes us away from Allah. It takes us away from His prayer. It takes us away from fasting and focusing on Him and doing His dhikr. And then we come when we want. We come when we, think when it's convenient. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should send a lightning bolt from the sky. He should not be ready to engage us and embrace us whenever we show up. But that's the mercy of Allah. We can decide that at 6 o'clock it's convenient, so we're going to do a dhikr gathering, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it and has angels that are looking for it and forgives the people who participate in it. SubhanAllah, this is just the mercy of our Lord. So magnificent, so great, always deciding what's best for the believer. He's our loving Lord. He's our caring Lord. He wants to forgive. He wants to reward. He looks for any excuse for us. So we should just be forever grateful. Even if we could attend one gathering and take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one time in our lives. So we should relish the opportunities. We should seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should engage the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us. These are the miracles of our deen. That is the miracle of deen. The miracle of deen is that the creator of the universe invited His low servants to worship and praise Him. That's called Islam. That's called deen. The creator of the universe invited His low servants to engage Him and to worship Him. SubhanAllah, a big gift. It is the only gift. It is the only gift that matters. It is the greatest blessing upon us. It is the purpose for our creation. So we should be forever grateful for that. We should always exhibit gratitude for every opportunity that Allah provides. And our tongues should never, ever complain. What complaint does a person have? What complaint can a person have if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to engage Him? You know, if somebody was able to meet the president of a country, nothing would go wrong that day. They'd be dancing around telling everyone where they're going And even if something went wrong, they would just be so happy. They would be overjoyed. They wouldn't be able to think of anything else. They'd be like, it doesn't matter that this went wrong because I'm about to go meet the president of this country and he's going to give me time. He invited me for dinner. SubhanAllah. So who are we to complain? What is there to complain about? There's no complaint. We have the opportunity to engage Allah at our own convenience at any time in so many unique and amazing ways. He gave us salah. He gave us sawm. He gave us zakah, he gave us hajj, he gave us Quran, he gave us the sunnah, and so many other ways by which we can engage him. So can anything go wrong? Can anything ever be wrong? It's not possible. It's not possible except for the short-sighted to ever think that anything could be wrong. Everything is always perfect because everything is an opportunity. Every time is available for us to engage our Lord. Does that mean that we don't undergo difficulty? No, we're human beings. We have feelings, and we experience those emotions and feelings. And at times when things go wrong, our hearts do hurt. That's nature. That's the natural way that Allah created us. We won't be able to avoid that. But our minds and tongues should always recognize that in the context of reality, in the context of being able to engage Allah, everything else is small. Everything else is small. I mean, if I told you, you're going to win $1 million, please come to my house. I want to give you the reward, $1 million. And then, on the way here, you get a flat tire and you show up at my door 5 minutes late and $1 million is waiting for you. Are you going to remember the flat tire? Of course not. You're not even going to care about the flat tire because you got there in the end and you were able to get $1 million. So in the same way, if things don't necessarily go our way in life, then that's from Allah anyway, number one. That's a separate opportunity to engage our Lord because every trial is actually an opportunity for us to gain and to attach ourselves to Allah. But at the same time, if things don't necessarily go our way in any particular moment, it doesn't matter. So long as we have Allah. If we have Allah, then we have everything. And if we don't have Allah, then no matter what it appears that we have, it doesn't matter, we have nothing. So this is part of the understanding that a person has when they engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should always be grateful that we have this opportunity. This is like an opportunity to earn $1 million. Khair, I didn't want to use these gatherings to speak too much because really I'm not a big fan of speaking too much. The reality of deen doesn't lie in speech, it lies in silence. It lies in adab. It lies in sitting on the musalla and engaging Allah, not necessarily engaging people. Although there's benefit in sitting with people, but the ultimate reality lies in engaging Allah. So we have been talking about the, as you all know, we've been doing this for several days now. Allahu Akbar. This gathering is a gathering of dhikr. It's a big blessing upon us. It's a gathering of dhikr. And in this gathering, we recite various adhkar. And those adhkar, I've been trying to share some of the meanings over the past few days. I am not one qualified to share these meanings, but just to share some of the experiences that that I've heard from my teachers. And I've been speaking about the various lines. And so today, I left off here, I think. Today we will talk very briefly about this line. This is actually on your screen. If you happen to not be on the screen, I'll just recite it just so you're clear. I know some people are on the phone. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah. Verily to Allah we belong. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And to Him we will return. So this line actually is also taken from the Quran. And it is a line which the deeper context of which is taught is a characteristic, actually. This line is a statement made by the people who have a certain characteristic. And essentially in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the circumstances of trials and tests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there will be people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will test you. Allah is speaking to the believers as a whole and actually using the royal we, subhanAllah. We will test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ We will test you with a little bit. Now look at the, I don't have the ayah in front. This is a tafsir issue as well. I don't have the ayah in front of us. But, you know, wala nabluwannakum, and we will test you. SubhanAllah. Saying, highlighting that even the tests that come from Allah, they come from the we, from the royal we, from Allah. And they come to you, to us. Allah is saying they come to you. You know, He's accepting us. Even in the context of tests, they come from Allah. So every trial, every test comes from Allah. وَلَا نَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. And what does Allah say? بِشَيْءٍ. With a little bit. With a little bit. بِشَيْءٍ. It's indefinite. If you know a little bit about Arabic grammar, the indefinite can be used to highlight just a piece of something. With a little bit from what? مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Allah will test us with a little bit of fear and a little bit of hunger and a little bit of decrease, min al-amwali wal-anfus, from wealth and from lives, wa-thamarat, and from produce and fruits. So first of all, the first point that I want to make is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by the way, this line is a statement that's made by the people who have patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we will test you with a little bit, we will test you with a little bit of fear and a little bit of hunger and a little bit of decrease in your wealth and a little bit of loss of life and a little bit of loss of wealth and fruits. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and give glad tidings to the sabirin, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to the sabirin. And what's their characteristic? Those who, when a musibah, a difficulty, a challenge hits them, they say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Subhanallah. This is their reaction. Inna lillahi, we belong to Allah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and we are returning to Him. What do you want me to say? I am from Allah, and Allah, I'm returning to Allah. So whatever the circumstance, the circumstance. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Every test is from Allah, every trial is from Allah. Now let me just make something very clear here, which is that, look, life is a challenge. Life is a challenge. And everybody's challenges are different. Some people are challenged by relationships. Some people are challenged by wealth. Some people are challenged by circumstance. Some people are challenged by death. Some people are challenged by illness. Everybody's challenged. That's the nature of life. Now look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it. وَلَا نَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will test you. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He is the tester. And He's saying that the ones who are going to be tested, the students, are kum, you. All of you. So do you think that there's any person on this planet that does not undergo tests? Now maybe if I was the one giving the test, I might miss the person. Oh, I forgot to give you the test. I forgot to give you the test. I forgot to distribute the test to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never miss testing anyone if that's His intention to test. He knows all, hears all, and sees all. So the first point to recognize is that Allah, first, the tests are coming from Allah. So that's a blessing in a way, because it's still from Allah. And number two, it only comes through His permission. He's the one that authorized the test. And number three, it hits everyone. Everyone gets tested. So this deception that Shaitan places in our minds that, oh, he doesn't look like he's being tested, or she doesn't know, she's never tested, or nobody knows because they're not tested the way I'm tested, that's all rubbish. All rubbish. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests everyone, and because He is the one that's providing the test, He makes everybody's test according to their own circumstance. This isn't the whole all of creation getting the same test at the same time. They're slow, subtle, consecutive tests that just arise in life when a person expects it, or sometimes when a person least expects it, and they are meant to challenge a person. And they're minor. Allah states they're minor, so who am I to make a big deal out of them? He says it's going to be a little bit. Bishayim, with a little bit, sometimes from a little bit of fear, sometimes from a little bit of hunger, sometimes from a little bit of decrease in wealth, or maybe a little bit of decrease in lives, or a little bit of a decrease in the produce or the productivity, let's call it productivity in the context of our lives. That's all from Allah. It's all from Allah. And it's just minor relative to the reality of all the other circumstances that exist in this planet. It's minor relative to the hereafter. It's minor relative to the final reward. It's minor relative to the life in the grave. And honestly, it's minor relative to our lives here in this world. Allah always tests in accordance to each person's ability to capture the test and to pass the test. Every test is provided because Allah wants to give something more. Every test is provided because Allah wants to give something more. These are tests that the teacher has created in a way, and the teacher here, I'm using it metaphorically, these are the tests that the teacher has created for the students to pass. Meaning these are the tests that our Lord has created so that we can easily move to the next phase in our relationship with our Lord. So in that broader context of the reality of tests, here we're being reminded, in this particular example, here we're being reminded that the sign of the believer, the sign of the believer and the people who exhibit patience during a test, one of their characteristics is that when this test hits them, they say, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We belong to Allah, and to Him, and only to Him, are we going to return. So again, Allah is the one that's testing me. I belong to Allah to begin with. He can test me how He wants. I'm returning to Allah, and I have nothing more to worry about except that this test should be passed so that I can gain a proximity to my Lord that I would not have been able to gain otherwise. I know that this test is coming to me for my own benefit. Just like if a child says, "I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school because my teachers give me tests." You say, "What are you talking about? Of course your teachers give you tests. They're testing you for your own benefit. If you didn't have tests, you wouldn't care to study. You wouldn't be able to check how much you know. You wouldn't be able to advance in your studies." The child cries, "I don't want to go. I don't like the test." Are you going to say, "No, don't go. You're right. You shouldn't be tested"? You'll say, "No, you need to go. That's how you're going to advance. Do your best on the test. The teacher just wants to figure out what you know. The teacher loves you and cares about you and wants you to get better. They're not trying to purposely fail you. They're trying to make a test to just improve you." But this is a teacher. A teacher is nothing compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfectly designs each person's tests in a way that allow them to succeed. So this pettiness of complaining about circumstances or blaming other people for my problems or thinking that nobody else is being tested and so now I'm going to sit in a corner and complain about Allah, na'udhu billah, we should be extremely careful about the deception of shaitan in these contexts. Never, ever, ever should there come a complaint from our tongue or from our fingers. Why do I say our fingers? Because nowadays everybody speaks with their fingers just as much as they speak with their tongues. Such a strange time that we live in. But anyway, we should never complain over a text. We should never complain over a tweet. We should never complain with our tongues. We should always exhibit the grace and gratitude that is appropriate to a believer who is always, always, always thankful to their Lord because they see the context of the greater reality, which is that if this is the price of worshiping you, Ya Allah, then this is not even a penny in the context of $1 billion. And if this is the price of gaining a reward from you, Ya Allah, then this is not even a penny in the face of $1 billion. SubhanAllah. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the characteristic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give them glad tidings. Give them glad tidings. Give whom glad tidings? The one who, when a challenge comes to them, they say, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Now notice, it doesn't say that their hearts don't feel difficulty. It doesn't say that their hearts don't feel pain. It doesn't say that they don't get stressed. Yes, life, we are human beings, we are created that way. We will experience stress. We will experience difficulty in our hearts. We will feel the pain. We may drop a tear. That's all acceptable. That is all acceptable. But what is unacceptable is that the tongue should have any complaint against the Lord. That is unacceptable. that we ever say anything negative about the circumstances that Allah places us in. We always say Alhamdulillah. We always say Subhanallah. We always are grateful to Allah, regardless of the circumstances. We never ever complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions to anyone, which basically means that we have nothing to say to anybody about any difficulty. We don't go to people and say, I'm feeling this and I'm doing this and this happened to me and that happened to me and this happened to me and that happened to me. Can you believe it? No, there's nothing to say. There's only Alhamdulillah. And if a person needs a dua from someone, you can simply say, I'm undergoing a slight trial through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that I'll be able to pass and attain the rewards associated with it. Please make dua for me. That's it. That's it. There's nothing more to say except Alhamdulillah. But this requires that a person disappears in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person has to disappear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to achieve this state. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know, granting glad tidings to those people who attain this state of sabr, this really requires a person to be fanafillah, to be completely engrossed in Allah, and to understand the reality of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe and the metaphysics of what's going on around us. So it does require a person to achieve a certain state in their deen. And it's one of the gifts of the believer and one of the gifts of the blessings of a person who travels on the path towards their Lord. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to bear his test with patience, and may he make us amongst those who are always grateful to him on our tongue. May he make us amongst those who never ever complain or ever have a complaint about anything that he has decided. And may he make us amongst those who are able to, at the most difficult times, turn back to their Lord and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.